name of. Do you remember what tune I'm talking about?
I played it.
You played it.
And didn't know the name of it.
Up at the studio. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have any name for it. And that's okay. I mean, we don't have to have...
That wasn't the one that I told you my grandfather played, but I didn't remember the name of it.
Well, there was that one. We just decided we'd call that...
Granddad's Paperweight?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay for that.
But there's another one then you played that we
Do you didn't... remember how it goes?
I might could think of it.
Is it one that you used?
I think we're going to use it, yeah. Because it came out real sounding, real good.
If I didn't have that.
Well, maybe later we can take the fiddle and fool around and figure out which tune it was. And even if we don't know the... Even if we don't have a name for it, if you know...
That wasn't that tune that... did I play it in A?
I think so.
You told it in A.
Okay. That'd be fine if you want to name it, or did you remember where you learned it or who played it or anything?
I think that I got that. I think it was one of my grandfather's old tunes originally, one of his tunes, yeah. But like we just said, I don't remember what he called it, but... can you think of a silver name?
Oh, well, that doesn't matter, I don't think. As long as...
We'll give it a name of some kind.
Okay, okay. It's in the high key.
Yeah, if we're going to use it, we'll give it a name.
Okay.
It's an old tune. It's been played for years. It's a real old tune.
Well, we'll study on that a little bit and come up with something. It doesn't.
Yeah,
and if we don't, that's okay too. Okay, I'll just run over these tunes. And
how about a name like that, a tune like that? Why wouldn't Camp Run be a good name for it?
Camp Run? That's good. That's up to you.
Hmm?
That's up to you.
That's okay with me if you want to call it that.
Okay.
That's, it came from the family, and Camp Run is, of course, where my great-great-grandfather went to hide out from the Indians, you know, is Camp Run. And so,
sounds good to me. Okay. How about You Piney Mountain?
I learned that tune from Jack Wayne. That was one of Jack's favorites. It been played for years. Jack played it when he first learned to play the fiddle. He'd played it all of his life. And it's one of his favorite tunes. And
was that tune played by your grandfather too?
Yeah, he played it. He played all those old tunes. My father didn't play it, but my grandfather played it, and I played it for a good while, and I don't recall whether any of the rest of the family played it or not.
Okay, and that, I just want to make sure also that I get all the keys down, and that's in the high key.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Betty Baker?
Betty Baker was one of Jack's old tunes, and also my father. My father played Betty Baker. I mostly got that tune from my father.
Do you have a name for that key that Betty Baker's in, or just...
That's E minor, isn't it? What you call E minor?
Now the key is actually G. Some people call that the G tuning, because you're playing in the key of G when you're playing in that Betty Baker, Indian Nation, and those tunes. But it's probably a minor too.
Maybe G. That's what I've called it. You tune your fiddle. There for old sledge, they call it A minor. Well, you're in natural key. You just drop that fine string to get an A minor. Mm-hmm. When you've got it in A key, and when you've got it in standard key, you just drop your first string, and you've got tune for Betty Baker.
But you just leave the bass down.
Yeah, you leave your string, you leave the rest of your fiddle, tune your fiddle in regular standard key and just drop your E string. Uh-huh. I always call it E minor, I don't know, it's...
Okay. Well, that's good enough. Did you ever hear any words to Betty Baker?
Yeah. Not very many. Some of the words took over, going over the river to see Betty Baker. If she don't have me, the devil can take her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We said he played it. Okay. Cripple Creek. Can you remember? Did you just learn that from everybody?
Cripple Creek, I learned it, I learned it mostly from Tom Dillon.
Mostly from Tom Dillon, okay. It's in the high key.
Yeah.
You think you play it close to the way Tom Dillon played it?
Yes, pretty much. I think I play it just about the way that it originally was played, just about the way that it was played when it was first made a tune. I don't know the story that I've heard about Cripple Creek, the way it come about, I never did find out who the fellow was, but some fellow down in Clay County, they went to a big dance on this night. I think maybe I told you before, but they went to this big dance. They'd been dancing there quite a bit, and they got into a free-for-all, and one fellow guy's leg broke, and in the fight, and so the fellow played the music there, and I think it was supposed to be Saul Carpenter. that was playing the music for him. And he made this, he come up with this tune. They kind of thought it was kind of funny the way everything happened, and he got to, he said he was going to see if he could get a tune about it, a song about it. And I never did know the words to it, but he made up that tune, and that's what it, he named it Cripple Creek, after the rumpus that they had, and this fellow got crippled, and that where the word, I forget what the original name of the creek where they had this dance was, but he named the tune Cripple Creek. That's how it's got a name, how it got its name. Because that fellow got crippled that night in the free-for-all. And that's what he named the tune.
Can you recall at all where you heard that story?
Mm-hmm.
Can you recall who told that?
My father. It's the first person I remember telling the story.
Okay. Okay, how about the Elk River Blues? That's one we named.
Well, I was just sitting here one day and I had the blues. I reckon as bad as anybody could. And I was thinking that it would be something good if I could think up something that I could play sort of maybe I could get some words or something in it about the dam, but I never did try to put any words in it. But that's what I came up with, was that tune. And it just seemed to come to me, and I just sat there and I was just sawing on the fiddle, and I got a note, and I got another one to match it, and another one to match it, and after a while I was playing it. That's the way it came to me. And
okay, that's good. It's in the natural key.
Yeah.
Okay. I think on that tune you're playing in the key of C, but I'm not sure. We'll have to check that after a while.
Which the one I was just talking about?
Elk River Blues.
It might be.
I can tell if
I play it in natural key, but I mean the way the tune, yeah. The fiddle's tuned in natural key.
Right, it's in natural key, but when you're playing in natural key, you can be playing in a couple
right.
different.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
After a while, we'll get the fiddle, and I'll be able to figure that out, what extra key you're playing. Okay, well, Shelvin Rock in the high key. I guess I've pretty much heard the story of Shelvin Rock.
Yeah. Huh?
I said I've pretty much heard the story of Shelvin Rock.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say about it?
Well, it's like I told you, my grandfather, I mean my great grandfather, who was born on the rock, he wrote that tune and named it the Shelvin Rock.
Yeah, I think we'll get all that in.
Mm-hmm.
I say we'll get that whole story in the notes somehow.
Yeah,
if I have that on tape.
Yeah.
You been up there to Shelvin Rock? Twin sisters, Ernie.
I learned that tune. I learned that tune from Wallace Pritchard. He played it the first time I ever heard it.
Wallace Pritchard. And it's a natural tuning.
Yeah, he was a great old time fiddler. Learned me a lot of tunes.
He was from Parkersburg?
Originally, yes. But he lived in this section of the country at the time I knew him, and then in later years he owned a big farm up on Elk River at just close to Har Station. And he lived early for years, and when he got to the place he wasn't able to farm, well, he went back to Parkersburg and died down there. That was his hometown. That's where he came from. But he and his wife both died down there.
That Har Station.
Har Station.
How's that spelled? Do you know?
Maybe how you spell Har Station? H Y R E.
Now, Mabel, how you spell Har? H Y R E.
Huh?
How you spell Har?
H Y R E.
H Y R E. That's what they spelled up there.
Was it called Har Station or was it called Har? Both?
Well, it was a depot there, and back in the days when they
called the depot Gillespie. Somehow they had Gillespie and Har both mixed in there.
Well, yeah, some people called it Gillespie and some called it Har.
Right.
Way back years ago, they used to name those little villages, you know, after who the first settlers was that was in there. Whoever the first settlers was that settled in that section where this little village was, that's usually what they called it. Whether it was Gene McFudgeon, Mel Chislick, Lee Buckley Bender, or who, why, they named it that. So there was a family of Harrs and a family of Gillespies moved in there about the same time. And some people called it Har and some people called it Gillespie. And today, you will hear people referring to it, maybe this guy you talked to, and he'll say, I used to live over around Gillespie. The next guy you talked to, he'll say, I used to live over around Har. Well, you think it's two different places, but it's all the same
place. Gillespie was the depot, honey.
Well,
that's
where
the post office. That's how it went.
G-I-L-E-S-P-I-E? Gillespie?
G-L-I-S-P-I-E, yeah.
Two L's in a G?
G-L-I-S-S?
G-L-I. I think
G-L-I-S-P-I-E.
That's right.
G-L-I-S-P-I-E.
I think so.
G-L-I-S-P-I-E.
I think that's what you spell it.
Right.
Funny if I can correct this by.
Do you know anything else at all about twin sisters? Is there any story with it or anything?
Any what?
Did you ever hear any story with it?
Well, no, not really. Nothing. I don't reckon that can be.
It's a kind of a different tune that the time's different. It's a different tune in that the time is different.
Oh yes, yes.
It's slower.
Yeah.
How about the rye straw?
Well, rye straw is a very old tune. It's been played for many years. And I don't know. I think I learned the rye straw from Mr. Pritchard too. Wallace Pritchard. I think I learned the rye straw from him.
Jack McElwain played it?
Yeah, Jack played it.
Anybody in your family?
Yes, Dad played it. My father played it.
That's with the raised bass.
Yeah, when Jack Wayne played it, she had to open the door and let the stink out.
They don't get that.
Nobody, like I've said so many times, there wasn't anybody that played any tune like Jack Wayne did. He could really play that tune. It was beautiful the way he played it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that tune that we're gonna call Camp Run. It's in a high key.
Yeah.
And who played that tune?
I never heard nobody play it. Really, Jerry. That's another tune that I was sitting in there one day and I was sawing on the fiddle and I put it on a tape. I was playing Jimmy Johnson. And I got off on that, just sitting there fooling with the fiddle. And I never really, I don't remember ever hearing anybody play it.
The Jack of Diamonds.
I learned that from Mr. Pritchard.
It's in the high key?
Yeah.
Okay, Wallace Pritchard lived at Har, but he lived, before that he lived where?
Parkersburg.
But didn't you say he lived right around close to, was Har where he always lived when he lived here?
Yeah, it like we were talking a while ago, they had two different names for that same little village. Some called it Har, some called it Gusby, so you can call it either one and be right.
Okay. Well, can we get the fiddle and put it natural and just figure out what keys a couple of these tunes are in? Flippin' Jenny.
That was my father's old tune. I learned that from my father. He wrote that tune himself.
Okay. Did you ever hear anybody else play it? Much fun?
Don't remember ever hearing anybody else play it.
High key?
Yeah.
Key of A.
That was another interesting thing about his playing. He never played in any other key on him. High key. He couldn't play a tune in this key. Mm-hmm. Played in high key all the time. Everything he played in high key. Mm-hmm.
So, was that the key you started out playing in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, old man Pritchard got me playing in this key. Way before we ever thought about playing music, right? He was a good banjo player. Played the banjo. My mother loved the banjo. She was still living at that time. And he'd come there and, because she enjoyed the music so much, he'd come there and sit and play till midnight for her. Play the banjo a while, and then he'd lay the banjo down, pick up the fiddle and play it a while, and then back to the banjo. And he knew an awful lot of tunes, and he'd sit there and play till midnight and never play the same tune over. And that's how that as we grew up as kids there, and got to fooling around a little bit of the music a little bit, while he took great interest in trying to help us all he could. We learned a lot from him. My brother and my sister learned a lot about the banjo from him, and I learned a lot about the fiddle from him. And he knew music. He was a fine musician, and he knew music. He knew how it was supposed to be played. Sort of kind of a Jack Wayne type. He had to be played right, or you just didn't play it. He didn't let you cut and cover. You had to.
And that was Wallace Pritchard.
Hmm?
That was Wallace Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
When he played the banjo, did he play a...
He played like you do, your style. What we used to call, well, call Clawhammer style, don't you?
Yeah. Okay. How about the pretty little girl I left behind me?
That was my grandfather's tune. I learned it from him. Didn't really learn it from him, but I learned because I wasn't playing at the time that he was. Oh, he, we was beginning to just, you know, he had a few tunes when he passed away, but they were his tunes, and we remembered how they were played. And so that was one of his tunes, one of his tunes that he played a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a natural key of G.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about the gunboat? Where did you learn that?
I don't just recollect who I did learn that gunboat from. Let's see, I don't just remember who I learned that darn tune from. Probably Mr. Pritchard, though.
Yeah.
My father didn't play it. I expect that I learned that from Mr. Pritchard.
Did you ever hear any words to it?
Hmm?
Did you ever hear any words to it?
No, not really. Seemed to me like it was, that I did used to know a few words of it, but I don't remember how they went. But it was supposed to be from a boat, real boat, gunboat. I suppose that it was by calling it a gunboat. Well, I suppose maybe it might have been some kind of a war, probably written from one of the wars back years ago.
Do you remember how far back?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how far back you started playing it? It's been a very long time.
Well, it was, yes, when I started playing it, when I was learning to play, back when I first started learning to play, or not too long after, you know, I got to fooling around with the music. And,
okay. How about the Hornio?
Hornio?
Yeah.
That was another one of my grandfather's tunes. I learned it.
You know any story with that or anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know any story about that tune or anything?
No,
it's in the high key.
Yeah.
Okay, Old Sledge.
I looked out in Jack Wayne.
Do you have any idea at all, or any thoughts about where that tune came from, or what
Old Sledge,
or what that means?
I don't know how true this is, but I heard that it was first become known, among musicians back about the beginning of the Civil War. But I would venture to say it was played a long time before that. Back about the beginning of the Civil War is when was beginning to be played by fiddlers around through this part of the country. Carpenter played it. One played Jam Chase. He played it in his time. And I think along about that time is when it began to, begin to be known, and other musicians began to pick it up. But if I was guessing the best of my knowledge, I would say it was played before the Civil War.
Do you have a name for that key? That Old Sledge
played? Did I play it in?
Yeah.
Well, not really. You drop that E string.
It's called Old Sledge key.
It's a high key. You've got to drop that E string to play it. You can't play it in just regular high key.
Wild Horse. Wild Horse.
Wild Horse? I learned that from... Now, I learned Wild Horse from Mr. Pritchard, but it was played a little bit different from the way that I play it now. The way I play it now, that's the way French Carpenter played it, but the way I originally knew the Wild Horse, it was played different. The way I play it now is the way that French Carpenter played it.
That's a natural. Natural key.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson was another one of my father's old tunes. I learned Jimmy Johnson from my father. One of the first tunes I ever remember hearing him play.
Okay, Heard any words to Jimmy Johnson?
Old Jimmy Johnson, bring your jug around the hill. If you don't have a jug, bring a $20 bill. And it goes on. I don't know what some of the other words is, but that's some of them.
Okay. And fork a deer.
It's another one of Jack Wayne's tunes.
Raised bass. Raised bass is the way you play it.
Yeah, high bass.
Okay, anything at all about Fork a Deer that you could think of to say?
No, it's a very old tune. Jack Wayne was the first fellow I ever heard play it, and I don't know whether, never did hear no words to it.
Did you ever know Jack Wayne to play for a dance?
I never was at a dance where he played, if that's what you mean. I never was at a dance.
I was just wondering if a tune like Fork a Deer would get played for dancing.
I doubt it.
Not much.
I doubt it. I would say the tunes that Jack Wayne played for dancers, Jack used to play for dancers, used to play for all the dancers around his part of the country. That's why that he quit playing the fiddle, like I told you, for so long. Busted up his fiddle and quit playing the fiddle. He went to church one night and got religion, and he came home and went in and got his fiddle and took it out to where he cut a big tree in the far end of the yard and just beat it down over that stump. Made toothpicks out of it, beating it over that stump. And neighbors heard about it, they of course thought it was ridiculous, which it was, and told him that there's no harm in that fiddle, and he said the fiddle itself might not be any harm in it, but it was the way he used things. And he said if he kept the fiddle around, he'd be playing for dancers, and that he thought was harm, which he was wrong there too. He said he had been going and playing for dancers, and he said if he kept the fiddle around, why, he'd probably be doing it again. So he didn't want to play for no more dancers, so he just busted up the fiddle. And he didn't play anymore for, I think, supposed to be about 30 years or more. And like I told you before, when he did find a start, why, his boy had one boy, and he had grown up to where he thought he'd like to learn to play the fiddle, and he traded somewhere and got the fiddle that Jack had when he died. I told you about, they thought at one time it was a genuine Stradivarius, where the boy had got that fiddle someplace. And he said that he was fooling around with it, and he said he just twisted and squirmed, and he wanted to hold the fiddle so bad he didn't know what to do. And so finally the boy couldn't get it tuned, and he brought it over to him, and he said, "Dad, will you tune this fiddle for me? And he said it was just exactly what he was hoping that he would do, so he'd have an excuse to get a hold of it. And he said he tuned it up and took the bow, and he said he just touched the Cumberland Gap in the high places. That's the way he described it. He said, "I just touched the Cumberland Gap in the high places." And he said, "I saw it was a real fiddle." And from that time on, he died, he played the fiddle.
Well, that'll do pretty good for the tunes, I think.